Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today is Mr. Joachim Gomez. He is the CEO of the Logistics Business Unit at CSTTAO in Dakar, Senegal. First and foremost, Joachim, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Bo. It's been a pleasure to be in touch with you once again.
Same here, same here. I always allow my interviewees to give a little bit background about how they ended up where they are. So, Joachim, how did you end up in West Africa, and how did you start in shipping in the first place, if we start there?
Well, it's it's a long story. Started everything within Maersk. I did almost 13 years of my career working within Maersk in different occasions. I started to touch some French-speaking countries when I was very recent in Maersk, and that opened me the door to go to missions abroad, the France, Spain region where I was based, and then go to Morocco and Algeria, where I started to be in touch with different restructuring missions and so forth, because I was able to communicate in French, but also because of I was really always looking for challenges. So I was kind of the guy that used to send to those places for restructuring and clean up the mess. So I had the opportunity to go to Morocco for one of my last missions while I was still working within Maersk in Europe. Mm-hmm. And I really liked it. So I had the opportunity to join a former boss of mine in Senegal. So it was back in 2009 when I came to Senegal. I just started working as finance responsible for countries like Mauritania, where I used to live, okay. Also Burkina Faso, then later passed on other countries like Senegal or Mali. And 2 years before leaving Maersk, I had the a career change that changed really my path, and it was the chance to become chief operations officer within Maersk Logistics West Africa.
Okay.
A position I held for 2 years before joining R Logistics, where I worked for around 5 years. It was R Logistics. I was based in Monaco, but I was commuting mainly in Africa, so
yeah.
I was more in Africa rather than in Europe. Again, the same countries, West Africa focused, including now more Central African countries like Cameroon, Togo, Benin.
Yeah.
And 5 years as it started as a finance restructuring, like a CFO, and then became a chief operations and sales officer that became then deputy CEO for the group, our logistics position that I held for the last year and a half. Before I discovered or my path got crossed with CSTTAO Group, Afrilog, whereas there was an intention to develop their network. They are very, very strong into the industrial and mining logistics sector.
Yeah.
They want to they wanted to drive a diversification strategy, less dependent on some particular customers or sectors, diversifying also the service portfolio, especially on the shipping side, not only the ship agency, but also the brokering and chartering.
Yeah.
What I did in our logistics was restructuring of a company that was acquired. It was the former Necotrans Group, which was quite active in West Africa. So I had experience of this restructuring and redeveloping. And I think, I came to do something very similar within CSTT Afrilog. And so 2 years ago, I came here to Senegal again, and I've been doing almost the same thing, restructuring and developing with quite a big, I think, quite a substantial good result, especially on the shipping, chartering, ship agency part of the work, which was a little bit really not really strong in the group. When I came here, we were owning one vessel, which was ill. And then we were massively using brokers to to move our cargoes. And in 2024, we started to operate our own time charter vessel. We started in the beginning of 2024, which was quite successful. We've been doing coastal services between, let's say, between Senegal and Ghana for almost a year. And in the beginning of 2025, we have decided to increase the fleet to two time charters that we operate regularly, and then trying to develop broader geographical scope by covering more ports. So having more partners, more agents on those ports. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget also that CSTTO Group is not just a supply chain company, but it's also a procurement and sourcing company, which supplies different commodities, reagents to multiple industrial and mining customers in the region. So we propose consolidated supply chain model, which comes from the purchase of the cargo from Ex Works. Mm-hmm. Then we have four main consolidation hubs owned by the group. One is in Antwerp, another one is in Johannesburg, and the other two is Perth in Australia and Houston in the United States.
Interesting.
We have a very similar setup in those countries with consolidation warehouses, where, you know, because we do the procurement and sourcing, you know, those vendors are able to provide their cargo on FCA warehouse, and then from there we consolidate the cargo, we ship it to West Africa, and then we do the whole logistics inland, whatever the port is going to be utilized. And within all that supply chain conglomerate, we have also these coastal services, because we source cargo intra-Africa.
Yes.
And so we take the procurement plus the chartering plus the inland logistics together as a real, I would say, I have not seen many, many companies in the sector able to do that from end to end. And, you know, that concept really was a big appeal for me to come. And I've been enjoying it. We've been developing, we've been doing great things, crazy things too. And we have a CEO, which is, I need to make a couple of important notes. So the company has 80 years of existence. It was created in 1949.
Okay.
So this is also something remarkable, because you don't see many companies that have lasted so many years and still alive and still kicking.
Definitely not.
There has always been a rejuvenation of the activities, which has proven to be effective and with the right leadership. Our boss is now 77 years old, mm-hmm. maybe not to mention, but you know, it's getting to an age where he wanted to see the product of his life. See the future. So that's when he decided to structure the company into three business units. One is for the procurement, another one is for freight forwarding, where we mentioned the consolidation hubs in our freight forwarding power, which is quite remarkable. And then the logistics, whereas I am the CEO, and then covers both the inland logistics within Africa, but also the shipping agency, chartering and brokering that we are developing.
Okay. I must say, just I have a couple of questions here. It's very interesting, and I do agree with you. Not many can do the end-to-end, like you say. It seems like you have a very good plan put in motion. And from where mining equipment or other kinds of equipment come, you have your own consolidation. So you don't have too many middle hands in between wanting a cut, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it sounds very interesting. How CSTT in Senegal, so the headquarter in Senegal, where do you have your own wholly owned offices, just so to make that clear?
So we have Senegal, we have Mali, Ivory Coast, Burkina Faso.
Yeah.
Gabon,
yeah.
Benin, Togo.
Yeah.
Mauritania.
Yeah.
South Africa.
Yeah.
Mozambique.
Yeah.
Belgium. United States. Australia. That's all. Then of course in China we have a partner in China.
Yeah.
So we are not on our own office and set up in China exceptionally. But all the rest it's our own office, our own assets. We also have an extensive set of assets. I mean, we have a lot of warehouses owned both in almost all the countries I mentioned,
yeah,
as well as extensive fleet of trucks, heavy lift trucks too, the vessels. And so, you know, all around this complex supply, real supply chain concept, there are assets supporting it.
Very, very interesting. And I think our viewers will certainly be interested to listen to this interview. Also, your feeder services, or let's say your coastal services there in West Africa, are quite unique. What more can you tell us about that? What are the normal ports of call? How often do you sail? Because I take it you accept any client who come and give you cargo, whether it's a forwarder, another forwarder, I mean, or any shipping guy can book with you, right?
Well, you know, it's a complicated question because, you know, I have worked on what used to be the first shipping line of the world. So the only experience I have is from something which is really too big to compare.
Sure.
But yes, I mean, when we started 2025, we are all like very excited, but, you know, a lot of tension of, hey, this has to work.
Yeah.
Because of course it is an investment. So right now we are open for everything. We are not really going into, you know, we will not post any forwarders. We will just tackle the shippers, and we want to deal directly with the shippers, and we try to remove all middlemen of the story. It is not my style.
No.
So at least as far as, or as long as I am here, I am not going to be, and I've seen that politic going on in many freight forwarders, but you know, like, you know, let's not quote freight forwarders because the you know, the interesting thing is to be directly with the source. Well, you know, I believe more on partnerships. And I think, you know, when people find wins, they stick for time. And so far in my life, I'm now 41 years old.
Yeah,
I started working when I was only 16 years old on the logistics business, starting from picking inventory and even driving trucks, loading them, getting them into Maersk, and I've seen everything, the whole spectrum. My experience tells me, you know, a good partnership, it goes for life. So whether it's a freight forwarder or it's a shipper, or it's even sometimes the consignee who wants to buy X works, you know, from port of origin, from country of origin, we are ready to prepare the product. And if we are not ready to go X works, then we're going to have a right partner, which is going to win also, and is going to be motivated to then maybe seek for other business and say, Joaquin, you use me for this one, but you know, I have 1,000 tons here. It is, you know, maybe we can do something together. And then that balls get on rolling and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you end up, you know, kind of choosing which opportunities you're going to go for, because if you develop that well, then people want to work with you, you know, because they know that, you know, it will pay out.
Yeah, no, I think your smart move of partnerships are better. I mean, you have your own employer, the good old Danish Shipping Line now. They want to do everything and cut out every middleman, every forwarder. They want to do it all by themselves. And I think, and many with me, nobody is good at everything. You have to have friends around the world. And I think your policy is great. So this coastal service that you have recently started, what type of vessels are there? Would you go to any port on the west coast of Africa if there's enough cargo there?
Yeah. So the two vessels are very similar because we chose very carefully the type of vessel that we utilize, because we operate in ports, in secondary ports. Notably, for example, I'm going to specify one in Senegal, which is Kaolack.
Okay.
And in order to get to Kaolack, you need to pass a bridge. And the bridge then obliges you to not be more than 28 meters air draft.
Right.
But then it means you need to have a vessel that can carry a minimum volume, whereas, you know, the voyage becomes, you know, profitable. Otherwise, you lose money. So our two vessels, our three vessels, the one we own and the two that we have on time charter, are very similar characteristics. The one sometime charter, which are being operated right now because the other one is ill, one is both have cranes on board. So we're talking about 25 to 30 tons cranes on both vessels. They are approximately, one is 3,500 deadweight, and then the other one is 4,100 deadweight. They are container fitted, they are IMO fitted, they are grain fitted. They are able to go to shallow waters up to 4.2 meters and be able to load up to 2,000 tons in those kind of waters. Which is quite interesting for West Africa, maybe not for Europe, of course, because who's going to transport 2,000 tons is not so frequent. But here in Africa, you're going to have maybe some wheat bran, or sometimes you're going to have some other substitute of wheat bran for animal consumption, or you're going to have some wire roads or some cement or some... And then the more you're present in the market, more people that never use the maritime transportation method then comes and say, hey, maybe it is worth that we talk, because, you know, I only have 500 tons, but if I have 500 tons from you and then I have 1,000 from the other, you know, I'm filling almost 50% of my vessel, and that could be okay. Of course, it requires a lot of commercial presence. We don't have the same kind of range that can have other big competitors. No, I would not even mention them as competitors, but people like UAL or like Redbox or like Yes, call it. You know, they have been in the market for many more years. And of course, you know, the channel of new opportunities is much broader than what we have. But what we have done in a year, I think, is quite substantial. We are gaining trust of the customers. They have an alternative. And yeah, so far that's been the...
I think you're covering some, as I said, not only some very interesting countries, but you also have an open mind. I mean, and definitely in Africa, somebody called themselves the Africa expert, but maybe they're good in South Africa, but not in the North. I mean, nobody's good everywhere. And that's why I laugh sometimes when I see we have Africa covered, and they subcontract. Even some of the big brand names, they don't even have their own office in some of the places where you have your office, for example.
Right? Correct.
It's very interesting. And are you currently, how many staffs have you got roughly? What is the size of your group as such?
Well, when it comes to my division, we are around 500 employees.
Okay.
And that is all the Africa footprint.
Okay. 500. It's quite a responsibility you have there, Joachim.
Well, yeah, it is. But it's really fun. I mean, you know, another interesting thing about my path is that I came from Maersk, super structure organization, you know, and then I went to R Logistics, which was a family company becoming a multinational. If you remember, R Logistics also.
Yes.
They acquired Euroports, so then, you know, it became something different.
Yeah.
And so I saw the step of, you know, going from family to multinational. So it's a midterm between multinational and family business. Now I'm in a pure family business.
Yeah.
This is this company is fully owned by one person, which is the owner I spoke about, Mr. Lamingue, Mamadou Lamingue. And so things are different. You know, the decision-making process is different. it's different, but you know, very, very, very rich the learning. You know, very rich.
But you know, I have a feeling that you are alive now, as opposed to where you were before. Even you, it was good years. You are more alive now, probably.
When
you are in that structured hell where politics is more important than results. I mean, you know. And everything,
you know, and the fact that, you know, you can have your boss telling you, Joaquin, okay, what did we do in 2024? And wow, the results are good. And hey, let's go for another vessel, you know, and it's like, wow, you know, and then being able to materialize that and then start to make your communication and your first successes. I mean, I don't know how to explain. When you come from a company like Maersk, it's like, well, it's true, I don't own this company, but you know, knowing that you are there in the beginning of a story like this, it's one of the best appeals I have from this work.
I've had my own since I was 23, and I only worked 9 months for Ericsson. I was actually based in China for a while, and the pay was good and all that, but to be in that structure and every document you made had to be done in a certain way. I mean, yes, I understand when you have 100,000 people, you have to have a different way, but it also kills a lot of initiative. So there will always be jobs for you and me, I'm sure. One question, because I was working for the agency of Costco for about 13 years. I suppose the Chinese are very active in all of the countries, both in trade and generally diplomatically in all the countries where you are, right?
Yeah. Well, in fact, I didn't mention this because we were very much focused on the feedering, but we have onboarded one of the main players in the maritime industry today. It's Silit. Is one of the faster growing shipping lines in 2024. Okay. They have started the service in Dakar in the month of November, so we are their representatives. Okay. It's a company which is known to be very much participated by Chinese.
Oh, yes. You mean Sealead? Sealead.
Sealead, yeah, Sealead.
Yeah. They're in Singapore and Turkey and...
Exactly.
They're quite active, yeah.
Yeah, so they have opened recently an office also in Morocco. So they are stopping their agency service in Morocco. We are their first port of entry to West Africa, Sub-Saharan Africa. We started with Senegal quite successfully. We are having almost same market ratio as ONE, for example, in Dakar, which is quite representative. It's like we are almost touching 3% of the market share, which for 3 months starts, it's pretty good. And then, of course, they're looking to go broader into the region. And then we expect that, you know, these probably agency openings will still come by.
Fantastic.
That's one of the things, we've seen. I would even say that Emiratis are being a bit more aggressive than Chinese at the moment.
Right.
More visible.
Yeah, they invest a lot.
Whether it's Abu Dhabi or Dubai, both are going very hard.
Yeah, you have the Abu Dhabi ports. I've seen they've been they bought Noatum recently. And
exactly. But then they got a port concession in Congo Republic. Then Dubai ports, they got the banana port project in Angola.
Okay.
Very recently. Then now you have, I think there are, maybe Abu Dhabi is going for something, I think, in Cameroon. Dubai Port is developing the new port, the new container port in Dakar, which is going to be 10 times what it's today. You know, Dubai Ports, DP World is also engaging into the non-pure port activities. So it goes to the landline, to the inland logistics and other types of activities. Abu Dhabi, I think, is doing very similar to what I hear. Mm-hmm. So
interesting.
You know, I have the impression like the Chinese, I don't know, they have slowed down a little bit on the maritime and the logistics. I don't know what's the story between Costco and Bolloré, in Costco or MSC. Whereas you know, on the ship agency, on the liner representation business, besides ONE who left Bolloré in the year 2019, when I was in their logistics, when I onboarded them in Togo and then later in Senegal and so on. Boluda left also Bolloré. All the main shipping lines left them, or they opened their own, you know, setup, except for Costco and OOCL, who have decided to be together. And I think there has to be something to do with some joint ventures in China with some terminals. I don't know what's going on. Probably. And I think that is one of the reasons maybe the Chinese are not going attacking directly the, you know, Bolloré or MSC's interest in at least in the Western Central Africa, which I control the most.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure there's more between the land and the sky than we know on this subject.
Yeah.
But, But really interesting to talk to you, Joachim, and get the lowdown on all of this. And I'm sure we will be in touch later. I think formally for me, I've come to the exhaust my line of questioning here. So I want to formally say many, many thanks for joining this interview.
All right, Bo. And for whatever reason, if you prepare some article, if you don't mind, just please share with us so we can.
No. I can say, I'm still recording now. I can say nothing will be sent without your approval, and you will get everything for pre-approval before anything will be done. So, but for now, I just conclude the formal interview here by saying a big thank you to you. Gracias, señor.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Bo.
And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today has been the CEO of the logistics business unit at CSSTAO, based in Senegal. Spanish origin gentleman, I believe. Is that fair to say, Joachim?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, who has an extensive experience in many parts of Africa, and also speak several languages necessary for doing that. So do contact him if you need anything. For me and Project Cargo Weekly, thank you very much, and until next time.